we made an announcement that we have two people who are being considered for eldership. One is Mark Kregler, and the other one is not Matthew Eaves. You know, what's really funny is I didn't even know I said that throughout the whole service, right? And when people were saying Klein Klein, I thought they were saying I. I really did. I thought, oh, Matt's already got the vote of everybody. Wow, this is amazing. You know, so Matt Klein is our second person. And as was announced last week, according to our bylaws, we take 3 weeks. We give 3 weeks for anybody who has an objection to put it in writing and submit it to one of the elders. And so I'm just reminding you of that. If you don't believe that Mark Kregler or Matt Klein, that they fulfill the requirements or would be able to fulfill the obligations of an elder, please write that and submit it to us. Okay. With that being said, Mark wanted a chance to come up and preach, and he was supposed to do it last weekend, but he had to be out of town for work, and so he's going to actually give the message today, and it's a very challenging message, I think, on attitude. And so, Mark, if you'd come on up and take it away.
Whoop, whoop. Is that thing on? Is this thing on? I don't think it is. We're good? Do we have a sound person? No heads. There we go. Hey, Tony, you want to turn on the lapel for me, please? Cool. We're good. It's just low. I don't want to start yelling yet. Cool. Well, my name is Mark Kregler. That's about it. Okay, so, short introduction. One thing I love about Jesus, and as he shows us in the Bible, is God loves working and communicating to us through stories. Stories are great because we can appreciate them and we can relate to those. So I'm going to start out this morning. First, I'm going to start out with a word of prayer because I'm so excited right now. And for those of you who know me, I can kind of get a wah, you know. And so let's just go to the Lord right now. Father, we come to you, recognizing who you are, that you've given your Son for us, that you've come for us, God, that you want to minister to us and save us from ourselves, from this world. So, God, we give this moment to you to speak to us through your word. Help me do a good job today, Lord. Help me do a good job. To speak to us, God, we go to your word right now. We thank you for everything you're doing and have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I heard an old story a few years back from my pastor in Phoenix, Pastor Joel McLaughlin. He was our pastor while we lived down there for probably about 10 to 12 years. And the story goes something like this. There's an old-timer who lived on the edge of town. And this is kind of a setting of like Little House on the Prairie. And the old-timer was there on his front porch, just relaxing, and along came a traveler. And the traveler's got his wagon. The old-timer says, "Howdy!" Whoa! He yelled at the guy. Anyhow, guy says, "Hey, how are you doing?" He says, "Thinking about moving into this town here." Old-timer says, "Wow." He says, "Can you tell me about the people in this town? Because I want to know before I go in there." Old-timer thinks, "Well, what were the people like in the town that you came from?" He says, "Well, they were terrible people. They're mean, they're angry, they lied, they judged you." Old-timer thought to himself, "Well, that's how the people are in this town. They're terrible, they're mean, they're angry, they lie. You won't like it here." The traveler goes, "I knew it," and went on his way. Well, the old-timer's just sitting there, because that's what he does. Along came another traveler. The traveler says, "Howdy." The old-timer says, "How are you doing?" He says, "I'm thinking about moving into this town." The traveler says, Well, the old-timer says, He says, "Can you tell me, what were the people like in the town you came from?" He says, "They were great. They were awesome. They were gracious. They were kind. They were encouraging. But you know what? I just wanted to get out and experience some new things in life." Old-timer thought for a second. He said, "These people are awesome in this town. You're going to love it here." And the guy said, "I knew it," and headed on into town. Now, what were the differences there? The old-timer had wisdom. He knew that both of these travelers would find what they're looking for. The one who's so negative, he's going to find negativity in everything. And the other traveler, He's going to see the good in people. He's going to see the good in people. Well, basically what we're going to talk about today is three different areas. We're going to be in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And this is one of my favorite books in the Bible. We're going to break it up into three sections. Oh, Larry's got some Bibles here if you want one. All right. We're going to break it up into three sections. We're going to look at attitude, we're going to look at perception, and then we're going to look at action. All right? We're going to go through God's Word and find out what He tells us in these three areas. Attitude is based on belief. The attitude that you possess is generally based on belief. Okay? What do we get caught up in sometimes as far as our attitude? We base it on feelings. Right? Wake up in the morning, not having such a good day, not feeling so good. Everybody that you meet during that day is a jerk. They're mean. You're ugly. No offense. Just making a point. Right? And we carry that bad attitude because we base it on our feelings. Now maybe the other, you got on the good side of the bed. You look awesome today. Glad you're here, Nick. You know, everything's good. But if we do that, flip, flop, we base things on our feelings, not so good. How about prior circumstances in life? Just been through life, maybe you've been blessed and just coveted and secure and just everything's good. And you feel like everything's going to be good. You ever meet a little kid? Like my little daughter, Brookie, she's amazingly cute. Everything's good. Everything is great. Samantha's the same way. Serena, if you meet these young girls. But perhaps you've gone through life and things have not been so good. You say, you know, I'm going to extend some grace and mercy to people, and they crush you. And they take your heart, twist it, throw it on the floor. We've all been there, right? It's life. That's how it is sometimes. But does God challenge us to do something? Perhaps rather than just going, you know what, this just really stinks. I ain't doing nothing. How about fear? Fear is huge. Everybody's afraid of something. Fear keeps us from moving forward. Fear keeps us from saying something or doing something, doing the right thing. Well, let's go ahead and look at attitude. Based on beliefs. I'm going to use my phone here. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. And I'm going to kind of cut in here on a few of these. It's just so powerful. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. And you can take two sentences from the writings of Paul and just be amazed by what he's saying. It's the Word of God. One sentence is enough. Jesus wept. Huge. Impacting. When God Himself breaks down and weeps. But here we're going to go through quite a few verses. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Have you ever been encouraged by knowing Christ? Or are you just doing church on Sunday? Do you actually know who Jesus is? Are you getting acquainted with Him? Are you seeking Him out? Because He surely is seeking you out. He's seeking me out, and He found me when I found Him at that cross. Any encouragement from being united with Christ. If any comfort, have you been comforted by God in a time of distress? Because we all go through that too. When the walls are crumbling down and life hurts and comfort comes in from the Word of God, from somebody else just stepping in and saying, I am here for you. If any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, Paul writes, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. This is really getting into attitude now. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But rather in humility. Would that be a great definition of an attitude? Being humble, attitude of humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So right there, if you want to cling to becoming or being a Christian, it is based on the belief that Jesus died on a cross for our sins. In the next section that we're going to look into, it's going to show how He did that. Your attitude is based on belief. Now, As far as attitude goes, I'm going to share just a little bit on a personal note. I'm going to bring Ken into the picture. Years ago, many of you remember, I was working here as associate pastor. Brian was here, Carissa was here, and Pastor Walt, after being here for like 16 years, thought, time to go. Moved over to Maryland. We were on our own for about 8 months looking for a pastor. And they said, you know, anybody can put their name in the hat. A couple people said, hey, Mark, why don't you go for it? Senior pastor. You know, at that time I thought, God can do anything. He can take a simple guy like me. Whatever, God. So I did. And they had a committee that kind of went through the names of all the people that wanted to be a pastor for this church, KCC. And they say, hindsight is 20/20. Well, I'll never forget the day we live out of town and Ken came to visit me. Remember that? Sitting on my front porch. And my attitude got checked that day. Because it's amazing what you can hide inside. You can fake it for a while. But eventually, you'll be found out. And even sometimes by yourself. It's an amazing moment. Me and Ken were sitting on the front porch. And Ken said, hey, your name came up a lot, but it's not going to be you. And something kind of riled up inside of me. And Ken, do you remember what I said? If you don't, it's okay. This is what I said. I'll show them. And it's one of those moments, did that really just come out of my mouth? And that's when Ken checked me. He said, do you hear yourself? And I was like, holy cow. My attitude was out of check. You see, it stemmed from issues from my childhood. Being stuffed in lockers, picked on, that whole nonsense, girls making fun of me. You know, I was going to show the world that I could actually have value. And as a Christian, it should have been taken care of, but it just doesn't happen right away, does it? Sometimes it does. But that was huge, and I thank you for that. That kind of sent me down another road of self-examination. Am I serving God correctly? Or do I have pride issues? Which I do, and I certainly did. Hopefully God's working that out. I'll show them. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. So basically we have two choices here in our attitude. Either we are looking to the interests of ourselves or someone else. What is your attitude today? I hope that you're like, what is my attitude like? Because you'll know pretty quick, because you feel it. If you got a bad attitude, you feel kind of funky, you don't feel right, you feel a little dirty, you feel a little angry and bitter. No joy in your life. But when we align ourselves with God, our attitude changes. It's like it all falls off and we are free. I like feeling that way. Well, the other day at work, I was talking to a gentleman named Jeff. I work over at Laren Incorporated, for those of you who know what that is. We do a whole bunch of fabrication, welding, really huge stuff. And about 100 people work there. And it really is a mission area for me. That's my deal. I feel like God has called me to that. He's made a way for me to have a job there. I do welding inspection, quality assurance, all that nonsense. But I'm trying to build bridges. And this one guy, Jeff, he's a really sharp guy. I really, really like him a lot. Don't think he's a believer. Well, we got to talking about the Da Vinci Code, you know, how, you know, all these things mean something in signs and symbols and the picture of the Last Supper, you know, how the people are, you know, leaning and all this stuff like that. And not that I know a whole lot about it, I really care much about that. But Jeff says to me, he goes, Mark, you know what Jesus said at the Last Supper? I thought, wow, is this one of those moments, God? I thought, yeah, I know a few things. But I just thought I'd go, what do you say? Jesus said to his disciples, if you want to be in the picture, you have to sit on this side of the table. Sometimes it takes a second to get that one. But I thought that was cool, you know, that we could just joke around a little bit. Not to dishonor God in any way. Attitude. Attitude will drive your perception, how you see the world, how you see people. There's a gentleman I knew down in Phoenix when we were living down there for about 12 or 13 years. And he had a powerful testimony. His wife had been a Christian for years and years and years. They had two young sons. They were teenagers at the time I met them. And he saw no reason or purpose to become a Christian. As a matter of fact, he was going to make fun of his wife pretty much whenever he could because she was just wasting her time. He loved his wife, but he still mocked her in front of the boys. So what do you think those young boys would start doing? Sure, yeah, we like mom. She cooks for us and cleans and does our laundry, but we're going to make fun of her when we can. But you know what? Her attitude was right. And she stayed the course. And one day, Chuck, who was into drugs and drinking and all that nonsense and making fun of his wife because she was one of those Christian people, he thought, I'm going to get her, I'm going to break her, and she can be like me, like we used to be. Well, he had had enough. And he felt bad because he knew what he had done to his wife. And he said to her one day, he said, I want what you have. He's a friend of mine, so it makes it a little more personal. I want what you have. Her belief had driven her attitude day in and day out. And she had remained strong even in the midst of being beaten up by her own husband verbally and her sons. Well, the cool thing is, he came to know Christ that day. He accepted Jesus, what he had done on the cross for him. And he said, Mark, he says, it was as if my life, there was a curtain in front of me and I couldn't see the truth and it was just open. And I saw my life for what it was. And it was a wreck. And God showed it all to him in one moment. And it changed his life forever. And it's amazing. His perception was changed. Let's take a look at verses 5 through 11. I'm going to continue with verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, or attitude, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. In some of the versions that say grasped, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is a perfect example. His attitude is based on his belief, his relationship with the Father. He continues to show us through his perception. He understood who God is. Obviously, it's a strange predicament because he was God himself. But he came to earth in human form to show us, give us the greatest example. So we couldn't just say, well, you're God, you got it easy. Because he didn't. He gave up his godliness so he could save us. His perception was the perception of the cross and what it meant for all of us. So, based on your belief today, whatever it may be, your perception will be based on that. That attitude, that belief. So I put these two things down. An attitude based on Jesus, then everything looks like heaven. Okay. An attitude based on yourself, everything looks like hell. It's all screwed up, it's all jacked up, ain't no good. And sometimes we get caught up in that because we are human and we have weakness and we get lost and we get out of the Word and we get out of relationship with God. And we find ourselves, man, going, how did I get here? God, if you can get me out. Anybody ever fell in there? If you can get me out of this one, I go to church on Sunday, I'll read you. Hey, I'm out. I'm good. When we have an attitude based on Jesus, belief in what he did for us, we see opportunity. We see opportunity. Because as a Christian, We know that God has saved us. He's worked in our lives. He's removed all that burden. No, He hasn't. But He's given us a way that we don't have to hold all this nonsense up by ourselves. And you'll find even as a Christian that we try to do it, right? God, just step aside. I got it. All right, God, come on over here. Come on, move it. Right? And we do that. We find that because our stomach's getting wrenched. We're worried. We're stressed. We're freaked out. Anybody remember Bill Jackson used to come here a long time ago? Had a shirt, loved it. Too blessed to be stressed. That is sweet. How cool is that? But it's a simple saying. It's fun. But the truth in the saying is just phenomenal. Based on belief, attitude, perception. Now, if we have an attitude or perception based on ourselves, then we see a lot of things as just a burden. Man, if I could just get through the day and not have to deal with anybody else's problems, it'd be a good day, I guess. You ever feel like that? I just had enough. And sometimes we do need to take some time away and get replenished. Sometimes we do need to take some time away and just refocus. Because in the busyness of this world, man, everybody's got a lot of stuff going on. You know, I know a lot of you guys work a lot. You know, last couple weeks, I did 270-hour weeks, right? Makes a great paycheck, but man, was it a blur. I'm just glad to be here today with you guys and just sharing. Anybody know Tommy Coleman? He's a young man who lives in town here. Amazing young man. I say young. He's probably like 32. but he's great. And you know, he has the mind of Jesus. If you ever meet him, he's just amazing. I remember one day I was going through the college on my motorcycle, and I ran out of gas. I thought, well, I guess I'm pushing. You know, it was only probably like 3/4 mile or something like that. I just start pushing my bike. I'm okay. It's going to be all right. I'll get there. And Tommy pulls up. Says, hey, Mark, how you doing? I'm like, well, you know, my bike won't run. I'm just pushing it to the college. Pardon me. And he says, you know what? The coolest thing just happened. When I was at the end of the road, I was driving, and I said, Lord, can you give me an opportunity today that I could help somebody? And then here you are. Isn't that cool? When we ask God for opportunity, He will definitely make it happen. It might not be exactly what we're looking for, but maybe what somebody else needs. And we can be the instrument that God wants to use to make this happen. We can reach somebody through our actions. Our words sometimes are so meaningless. Sometimes they're more detrimental than anything. We say all these things, but then we do this, this, and this. Oh, God loves you, but I sure don't. Right? And we show it through our actions. My wife used to tell me, Mark, actions speak louder than words. Not sure what that meant. But anyhow, I knew exactly what it meant. I would tell her one thing, but then I would show her something else. When we were young in marriage, you know, it takes a while sometimes, you know. Yeah, it takes a while. So, moving on. God is good. What do your actions show or do? What do your actions show or do? I've kind of already started moving into this camp. The book of James talks about looking to the needs of widows and orphans, coming alongside someone who is in true need, and you say, hey, I hope everything works out for you, but I got to go. Not so good, right? It's meaningless. Actually, it's detrimental, because here we are saying, hey, hope everything works out, but I ain't got time for you. I'm not going to show you God's love right now. Let's go back to the Word in Philippians 2. Therefore, my dear friends, if you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more, or now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Absolutely love this. This is the first verse I can recall memorizing. And it kind of went along with a little song. And it's kind of funny, for those of you who know me, I'm passionate about music. Love doing worship. The worship team here is doing a phenomenal job. Just awesome. I was just behind there just praying. I was real nervous about how this was going to go today. And I just felt like this peace just kind of washed over me. Just listening to all of you sing and the band playing and stuff. And it was just amazing. It was powerful. But for being as passionate as I am about music, when my wife made me go to church many years ago, I said, what's with all this singing? You know, what's with all the singing? And then I found myself remembering the little song, Do Everything Without Complaining and Arguing. They used to have a young man come up and play the piano. And this little song, Do Everything Without Complaining, da, da, Do Everything Without Arguing. And that stuck with me. And I'll never forget. My wife used to work with me. We'd be out welding and pipe fitting and different kind of things. You'd never know, huh? Just amazing. And we're out in the desert in Scottsdale, like Cinco Dados or one of those places where they have these million-dollar homes. And we're putting in this fencing. And I was getting so frustrated. I was doing some MIG welding, shielding gas. Every time I pulled that trigger, the wind would come and blow my gas away. And the weld would be all messed up. And I'm thinking, you've got to... So I'm waiting. No winds. We're good. You got to be kidding me. And I'm just losing it, you know? And I hear Shell singing in the background. Everything. And I'm just thinking, where did you hear it? That's not what I wanted to hear, but it's exactly what I needed to hear. And it made a point because that was like 19, 20 years ago. Amazing. Thank you. She's been amazing in my life. So, God does not want us to grumble. God does not want us to complain. We can come into a habit. You know, it's great. You ever feel nervous around a group of people? So they start complaining. So, hey, I want to complain too. I'm going to hop in the group. We'll all complain together. Everything stinks. But it can become a bad habit. So sometimes nothing's good enough. And you know what happens? We get infected. Our heart becomes blackened with complaining and arguing. So, as it goes on to say in the Word, we are supposed to shine. We are supposed to shine in this world. So as soon as we start complaining or arguing, what happens to our light? What happens to the light that's supposed to be coming from each one of us? It dims out. It flickers. It goes out. It's gone. What good are we? For them, for us, to say, God is my king. He's done everything for me. I am who I am because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. I have life, I have freedom, I feel great. It's all squashed. Because we're too busy complaining and arguing. I had a boss in the military, his name was Leo. He had a saying. He said, you'll do it and like it, or you'll do it until you like it. And he was serious. I think I'd rather just say, yeah, I'll do that. And be happy about it. Because guess what? I'm going to have to do it anyhow. And it could be anything. Have you ever seen that movie, Yes Man? Jim Carrey? Yes Man, Yes Man, Yes Man. I have found with my wife, she found out, well, she already knew it, but it was confirmed last night when I preached. If she wants something, she's going to get it. She says, Mark, can you do this? I'm going to say yes. And my body starts moving before I can start thinking about it. Because I might not feel like doing something right then. My kids might want to go, hey, Dad, come and look at me. Oh, look what I did. I drew all over the walls. You know? I might not feel like going, I had a hard day. I'm going to sit in my lazy boy and just be lazy. But I found myself, and many of you do this too, you just get up into action. And you say yes before you have a chance to say no. And I have found that I've been so blessed by my kids because they know that I want to see what they did. And if they hung the turtle or cooked the rabbit, you know what? I'm going to be proud of them. So I want them to know that I'm not too busy. My dad was a hardworking man, loved him, respected him, but he really didn't know how to interact with kids. You know, he took me fishing once, he took me shooting once. And that meant a lot because His dad wasn't around. His dad died when he was young. So he really didn't know. But in my generation, I want to make that difference. I want to make that difference. And hopefully you do too, just in any given situation. Here's another good saying. It says, the beatings will continue until morale improves. That's a good one there. So in closing, your attitude is based on what you believe. So sometimes it's good to think about, what do I really believe? Or am I just muddling through, winging it as I go? When you understand that, you can understand your perception in this world. How do I see things? Because you might see things maybe a little skewed. Maybe the windshield's a little dirty. It's time to clean that thing off. Huh? Maybe you want to see people a little bit differently? If we dive into God's Word, you will be changed. I had a friend. I haven't talked to him in a while. He's down in Phoenix. And he would say, I don't need to read God's Word because I already know it. Wow, that's a trap. I've fallen for that too. I don't need to read today. You know what? I've hidden my word in my heart so I might not sin against you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do everything without complaining, right? We know these things. God gives them to us. So we will be prepared for when we are tested. But we need to be feeding ourselves on the word every day. Otherwise, we're lying to ourselves and making ourselves weaker. And then into action. Be prepared to act. Just like Tommy. God, can you give me an opportunity today that I can make a difference in someone else's life? That I would step out in faith and not only think of myself, but trusting you that you are going to protect me. That I don't have to worry about fear and I don't have to worry about prior circumstances because I failed before and people were mean. Well, guess what? It's going to happen again. Be prepared. God is good all the time. Why don't we go ahead and stand and pray together? I thank you for your time this morning. I hope that you're encouraged. If God is with us, who can be against us? Lord, we just come to you this morning, recognizing who you are. God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this group of believers. I thank you for Kingman Christian Church and what you're about to do here, God. There's going to be some exciting times ahead. I'm excited to be part of it. I've been on the bench long enough. So help each one of us to step out in faith, ministering to one another, letting fear be put aside, prior circumstances be put aside, God, that we would move forward trusting you and living in freedom, seeing the cross before us. So we give this time to you, our lives. In Jesus' name, we give thanks. Amen.
Before you go real quick, thank you, Mark. Just a few things. Number one, if you go on the mission trip,